And in the, well, the art scroll Ashkenaz, Psukei Dezimra begins on page 58. In the blue Ari, it is on page 30. Okay, so just before we go into the Siddur, well, actually, not just before, but the truth is the best thing to do is first to look at our Siddur, because our topic today is the Psukei Dezimra. We're working backwards. We did the Shemayna Esrei, which we know is what we call Tefillah, the davening. And the truth is that Shemayna Esrei is really, if we're talking about davening as the ladder, and on the ladder there are four rungs, Shemayna Esrei is the highest rung. And now we're going to be going a few steps down. So the truth is that davening starts even before Psukei Dezimra. We have a section before. We know in our Siddur, if you look into your Siddur, at the beginning you have the brachais that you say every single morning when you wake up. And you have a section called Karbonais, which is the sacrifices. And then we come to the section called Psukei Dezimra. And we'll see in a minute what categorizes, what makes Psukei Dezimra. Psukei Dezimra literally just translates as verses of song, verses of praise to Hashem. After the Psukei Dezimra, we have a section in the Siddur, which is called the Brachos of Shema and the Kriyas Shema. So the Brachos that we make before we get to the experience of the Shema, which is the unity, the oneness of Hashem, and then the actual saying of the Shema Yisrael and those paragraphs. And leading on from Shema comes the final rung, so to speak, before we start going down again, and that is the Shemayna Esrei. So today, with Psukei Dezimra, we are dealing with the second rung on the ladder. Hopefully, I don't know, maybe at one point we'll go back to the first with the brachos. We'll see if people want that. I know that has been done in other shiurim. But for now, we're going to the second rung, which we call the Psukei Dezimra. In a very general way, Psukei Dezimra, technically speaking, begins with Baruch She'amar. And Baruch She'amar does contain a bracha. It doesn't begin with a bracha. The bracha is in the middle. We'll discuss that soon. But it has a bracha. And the conclusion of the section of davening, which we say is the second rung of the ladder of Psukei Dezimra, is the famous paragraph of Yishtabach. Again, Yishtabach also praising Hashem, and we conclude the Yishtabach prayer with a blessing. So we begin Psukei Dezimra with a blessing, and we conclude with a blessing. And the theme that goes throughout are praises and songs to Hashem. Just technically, just something important to know, that this is considered its own section, which means that according to many opinions, most opinions, once you start Baruch She'amar and you say this special blessing, a person shouldn't interrupt unless obviously very, very, very necessary, shouldn't speak, shouldn't divert his attention until the conclusion of Yishtabach. And the truth is that we'll see today, even more important is not to make any interruption between Yishtabach and continuing into the blessings of the Shema and the Shema, because this section of the davening is in truth a stepping stone, right? It's that rung on the ladder. It's a preparation, and it enables us to reach the next rung on the ladder, which means that if we make interruption, we're actually causing not just an interruption as we might think we're talking whatever, and it's not just that we're losing focus. It actually is like, I mean, it sounds crazy. It's like you can imagine if you're going up a ladder, and if you miss a step or you'll fall. So it's actually quite a dangerous thing in a sense. We don't want to make any interruptions. So once we've already said Baruch She'amar, that's where we don't talk anymore, as we say, and we start to really, really focus. But we have to understand what this section is all about and where it comes from, where it originates, and how it works. Okay, was there one more? And just one more quick thing also is that, you know, with the Siddur, we always talk about where the origins of the Siddur come from, because the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, as we mentioned with the Shemayna Esrei, the men of the Great Assembly who lived just at the beginning, just before the Second Temple, the beginning of the Second Temple, they structured the Shemayna Esrei as we have it. The question becomes the rest of the Siddur. When did it all evolve? And it actually evolved over the generations. However, we will see today that even though in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, it doesn't very clearly set out the these paragraphs of the Psukei Dezimra. We have many allusions to it, which means that it is also the Anshei Knesset Hagdela who did definitely begin the structure of the Psukei Dezimra. Maybe it didn't contain all of the paragraphs as we have it now. That's possible, and that came later on, evolved a little bit over the generations. However, for a good few hundred years, almost 1,000 years actually, all the Siddurim contain a very similar basic structure, and these are these Psukei Dezimra. Now, just one more little introduction before we go inside. There is one big difference between the Ashkenaz and the Svarad. The Svarad we call it. Not, I don't know the Svaradim, but Svarad meaning the Chassidim and the people who go according to the Nusach Ari and all of that. So there is one big difference that the Haidu, the paragraph that comes in the Nusach Ashkenaz after Baruch Shamar, which is Hoidu, we in the Nusach Ari say it before. So we don't consider it part of Psukei Dezimra, whereas in Nusach Ashkenaz, it is part of Psukei Dezimra. But one thing is for sure, that the beginning of Psukei Dezimra is Baruch Shamar. Everybody agrees that's the beginning of Psukei Dezimra. Some people say Hoidu before Psukei Dezimra, some included in Psukei Dezimra. We won't discuss Hoidu today, but it's just interesting to note. But generally, otherwise, the Psukei Dezimra is very, very similar structure between everybody's Siddur with slight differences and a few slight words that might be different. In the Baruch Shamar itself, there's a very few differences. It's almost exactly the same, and we'll see that today. Now, but let's understand before we go into the Baruch Shamar. So let's understand a little bit more, what is this Psukei Dezimra? What are we talking about? So as we just said, there's the concept, davening is the concept of a ladder. We know that from Yaakov Avinu, he was coming close to Hashem in his dream, and he had this dream, and there was a ladder. And we know a ladder in those days officially had four rungs, corresponding, we say, spiritually to the four worlds, which means that when we wake up in the morning, every single morning, we begin to climb the ladder. The goal is to come close to God. The first rung of the ladder is the first part of the Siddur when we say the brachos. That we call, it's very interesting, we call that actually the part where we submit to Hashem. That's the part where we are not yet aware very much of anything. We just almost blindly or without too much concentration, too much focus, but it's more than that. It's without too much intellectual pursuit, without too much emotion even. We just give ourselves over to Hashem. We are His servants and we are ready to serve Him. Every single morning we wake up and we start the process again. Every davening that we do three davenings a day, we come close to Hashem. Shachris, the first prayer in the morning, is the longest prayer because we have just gone through a whole night of sleeping where we have possibly, our minds haven't been focused and we are starting our journey again, hopefully on a higher level than yesterday, but nevertheless, we're starting our journey to come close to Hashem, and therefore Shacharis is longer than Mincha and Ma'ariv. It takes more time, more effort to start that connection, that process of connection again. So we begin with the brachos part, as we said, at the Karbonis, and that's the first rung of the ladder. And Kabbalistically, that corresponds, we would say, to the world we know as Asiya, the world of action. That is a world where we are just here, just serving Hashem, submitting ourselves as servants to Hashem. Just one more important thing, we speak about davening as a ladder, but another important theme, and it will come through today a lot, is that it is a ladder, it is climbing, and we are climbing away from the material, from the ground, coming closer to Hashem. But davening is also known as tzleisa, a war. It's a battle. It's a struggle. And it is because naturally there is gravity. We are naturally pulled to the ground. We are material, physical beings. For us to raise ourselves, to elevate ourselves, to lift ourselves beyond that and to come closer to Hashem takes a battle. And that's what davening is. Davening is that struggle where we're trying to leave behind or to harness, in a minute we'll see, all the negativity and the materialism and to come closer to Hashem. And that's why, as we're saying, this battle assumes four steps, these four rungs of the ladder. After we've done the first rung, we come to the second, that's what we're going to deal with at length. And these shiurim are what we call the Psukei Dezimra, as we said, from Baruch Shamar till Yishtabach. This time in davening is a very, very important time. We're going to develop it as we go along, but just in a very short, we say that it's actually the emotional part of davening. This is the part of davening where a person has passion, feeling, develops and reveals his love for Hashem, his awe of Hashem. But it's a personal feeling, and it's subjective. It's, I want to come close to Hashem. Hashem obviously is the creator of the world. He's the master. He's the all, you know, encompassing and amazing God who does everything for me. And therefore, I want to come close to him. So it's quite a subjective feeling. I come close to him, and obviously then I benefit tremendously, both physically and spiritually. So it's the emotional part of davening where we arouse these feelings of love of Hashem. That's what, in a general way, the time of Psukei Dezimra is. So it's where Hashem cares about me, and therefore I want to come close to him. Then we move on. We don't stay there. That's not where we're meant to stay. We move on to the third rung on the ladder, which is, as we said, the brachas before Kriyas Shema and Shema itself. And that part of davening is referred to more as the intellectual part of davening, because over there it's more meditative. There we're a little bit getting past what Hashem does for us and starting to think about Hashem himself and the unity and the oneness and the greatness of Hashem. Less emotional, more trying to attach ourselves to the unity, to the oneness of Hashem. So that's removing a little bit of our subjectiveness, I mean a little bit, as much as we possibly can, and moving to a higher stage, and this corresponds Kabbalistically to the world of what we know, the world of Bria. And of course the goal, as we mentioned when we learned Shemayna Esrei, is to come to Shemayna Esrei, where we know that over there we are in a total state of humility before Hashem, right? We have gone through all the emotions. We felt the love of Hashem, and then we recognize and we internalize the unity of Hashem, and then we are so struck, and we are so awestruck that we become totally submitted to Hashem, much deeper than the first rung. Obviously, we stand humbled, as without any sense of self, right? And that's where, in a sense, we are literally becoming one with Hashem. And during the Shemayna Esrei, we are completely silent, as opposed to the Psukei Dezimra, which are called verses of song, where we raise our voices, we sing, we're emotional, we exist. We exist very, very strongly, and we feel ourselves, but we also allow ourselves to be heard, both by ourselves and obviously by the people around us. Interesting that it is, you know, in schools they sing the Psukei Dezimra. It is a good thing to do even when you're on your own, if you have a few seconds, extra seconds, whichever one you choose, whether it be the Baruch Shamar or the Ashrei, to sing a little bit in Psukei Dezimra, because they are called words of song. And song helps us feel our emotion. Okay, but then we get to Shemayna Esrei, to say that's where we're in Hashem's space, and that's literally where we become one with Hashem, and that we know corresponds to the world of Atzilus, the highest world, where only God exists, so to speak, and that's the only being that is felt. Okay. But let's understand the Psukei Dezimra, because this is what we're talking about. So we said Psukei Dezimra is a time of passion. It's a time of emotion. We're excited about Hashem. Hashem has done so much for us, and he continues to do so much for us. He does so much for the world, and he continues to do so much for the world. So originally, as we said, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola set out, and we're not sure exactly at what point each part was added, but we know that they started the Baruch Shamar with the bracha, as we said, the Yishtabach ends up with the bracha. And we say that the concept is that, what's the wording that's used? It says that when we do Psukei Dezimra, why do we do it? Because Psukei Dezimra, we say, is praise for Hashem. Do you remember when we learned the Shemayna Esrei, we learned that the Shemayna Esrei is set out that first you praise Hashem. That's why the first three brachas are praise. And only then do you put in your requests. This is a formula, a model, which is followed constantly. We have that modeled by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wanted to go into the land of Israel, when it says, V'eschanan el Hashem, when he was begging Hashem, first he praised Hashem, and only then did he put in his request. And this is the same idea here as well. Before we get to the Shema, before we get to the Shemayna Esrei, we must have these Psukei Dezimra, these songs, these verses of praise of Hashem. obviously mostly are taken from Tehillim. We'll see them because Tehillim is the greatest source of praise, of verses of praise. Not all is taken from Tehillim, but mostly it is. So on one hand, we say it's lesader, the language that's used in the Shulchan Aruch is lesader shivchay shel makayim, to organize the praise of Hashem. And also, obviously, we know that what happens is that if a person contemplates, and if a person contemplates in a way, not just so much with intellectually, but more emotionally, all the amazing things that Hashem is constantly doing for them, what that does is it makes, puts the person in a very positive, happy frame of mind. As we know, when a person feels gratitude immediately, they feel a sense of joy. And there's a famous thing that we say, Ein Eimdin Lehispalel Ela Mitoich Simcha. You cannot daven unless you're in a state of joy, which means you cannot say the Shemayna Esrei unless you've prepared yourself first with the Psukei de Zimra to get yourself into that mood of full of gratitude, full of greatness of Hashem, that emotional state where, wow, it's incredible, and you lift yourself and you feel joy, and then you can start the Shemayna Esrei. Now, we use the language lesader. Lesader is shivchei shel makayim, which means to organize, because there are many paragraphs here, and it is quite organized, and when we go into it, we'll see how it flows beautifully, all the different praises that we say of Hashem. But there's another way to say it. Perhaps we can say not just lesader, but lesaper. And lesaper means to tell, which means, because lesader sometimes might imply more of an organized, which is, you know, you organize your praises, which is an intellectual pursuit. Yet we say, and we have to remember, Psukei Dezimra is more of an emotional pursuit. So lesaper means that you tell, which means you arouse yourself to be singing, to literally verbalize and to give expression to all those feelings of praise of Hashem. And that's why we say, actually, and I keep mentioning it, but it is important. It says that a person should sing. This is songs, Psukei Dezimra. Sing some of the Psukei Dezimra, whichever way possible. But there's a discussion that it's explained in many different ways, and it's quite a fascinating thing. It says that we call it Psukei Dezimra. Zimra, zemer, is song, right? Zmirais are songs. But, you know, in Hebrew, there are other words for songs. We can say nigun. Nigun is also a song. Linagen is to sing. Why do we specifically use the word zemer? So we say like this, a very interesting thing. Because, and it's interesting, we don't say shir, psukei deshira, which are also songs. We say psukei dezimra. Although it is known as shirais vizimrais. And we say the word shira quite a few times throughout the psukei dezimra. But the heading is zimra. So the truth is, because the word zemer, shir is a song. Zemer is also a song, but zemer also has another meaning. The other meaning of the word zemer, lizmar, is to prune. What is the process? What are we doing during the Psukei Dezimra? As we said, we are moving, like we're grounded when we wake up, but too grounded. We are too attached to the ground, and we are trying to elevate ourselves, lift ourselves beyond, and come closer to Hashem. Part of that process is that we have to prune away the negativity. So part of it is to harness the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah naturally is a very emotional being, so to speak, and causes tremendous emotion, which is not a negative thing in and of itself. The problem is that what the Yetzirah gets excited about naturally is not necessarily things that have to do with God, more things that have to do with materialism, comfort, desires. Those are the things that the Yetzirah naturally gets excited about. What we want to do is we want to harness the Yetzirah that he should get excited even about godliness. How do we do that? How is that possible? So as we said, Psukei Dezimra is a time of subjective praise of Hashem. When a person thinks about how much Hashem does for them, even the Yetzirah agrees, well, if Hashem does so much for me, I better be excited about it. It makes sense. It works. It fits. Because the Yetzirah is, by nature, so to speak, a self-centered being. What serves it? What will give its pleasure. So the idea is to prune away the negativity and to try and harness even the Yetzer Hara, should get excited, so to speak, should allow you. And not only does he get excited, but more importantly, he stands aside a little bit and allows you to focus and allows you to concentrate on your godly soul and allows that to take primary. And then you can move on to the Shema, the unity of Hashem, and the Shemayna Esrei, where we totally submit to Hashem. Rabbi Schwab has a very beautiful thing. He says that both words, shir and zemer, both have a different translation. So the word shir is also, it's interesting, it's in the Gemara, it says that shir is like a leash that you put on an animal. So shir connotes connection, because you're leashing, you're connecting. He says, and zemer is pruning, which is a bit of a disconnect, because the process of davening is both. We are connecting to Hashem. How? By disconnecting from all of the other things in our life, so to speak, that perhaps contradict our connection to Hashem. Just want to see if I can find it, as I want to read you. He says it very, very beautifully. Let's see if I find the exact page of where he says. Okay, I'm going to read you something. He says like this, that the truth is that a person, the human being's innate desire for happiness, or even his lustful thoughts and desires for earthly pleasure, are actually only sublimations of his innate longing to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person truly wants to come close to Hashem. But what happens is that it's difficult to direct that desire. And that's really the person's natural desire, he says. So what ends up happening is, unfortunately, we don't know the spiritual realm. So we replace it with desires in this world. They never really satisfy us, but we're not sure what to do with it. That's what he says. So we seek satisfaction in other ways. So he says like this, the meaning of Zimra is a happy singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by which one can prune out the powers of tumah, the powers of impurity, those sinful subliminal substitutions, and replace them with his deep feelings of becoming close to Hashem. And when one does so, he can experience in this world a foretaste of the eventual realization of true happiness and pleasure, that of his anegal Hashem, to have true pleasure in Hashem, which is the ultimate goal of creation, which we will all have in the world to come and during the times of Mashiach. But now we sometimes find that quite a challenge. But that's what we do during the Pesukei Dezimra. We harness and we take all of our emotions and all of our feelings and of all of our desires that sometimes we direct to the physical, and instead we redirect them to Hashem. Okay, so that's part of the big part of the process of the Pesukei Dezimra. Now, interesting, if you look at the Pesukei Dezimra, the main one that's actually discussed in the Gemara that is mentioned is the Ashrei prayer. Baruch Shamra, we'll see, is actually a bit difficult to see where its sources, and we'll see soon something magnificent about it. But the Ashrei prayer, which is really the center of the Pesukei Dezimra. So we have an interesting thing. Why Ashrei? And Ashrei, we know, is the 145th chapter in Tehillim. So we say because Ashrei contains, very interesting thing, the Gemara says that Ashrei contains a pasuk which is Paiseach Es Yodecha, that Hashem opens up his hands and gives us all of our needs, as well as Ashrei goes in the order of the Aleph Beis, which means if it goes in the order of the Aleph Beis, if David HaMelech did that, it means it's a very significant and powerful psalm, which helps us connect to Hashem in the most all-encompassing way. So the question becomes, the Gemara says, there are other chapters which go in the order of the Aleph Beis, namely chapter 119, and yet that's not chosen. And there's another chapter, which we say, I think it's 134, which also has a pasuk that Hashem supplies us with all of our needs, and yet we don't say that one. Why is Ashrei chosen? Because it has both. It combines both. It has the Aleph Beis as well as the request that Hashem gives us and supplies us with all of our needs, which is the core, as we're showing gratitude to Hashem, who gives us everything that we need in this world. So Ashrei is, like, so to speak, in a sense, the center. Just one more small thing just to share with you, because sometimes as women, there's always a big question, are we required, are we obligated to say Psukei Dezimra in davening? Is that one of our obligations? And strictly speaking, according to most opinions, we are not obligated to say Psukei Dezimra every single day. However, of course, it is a beautiful thing to do, and if we can, we should try. Now, if somebody has a limited amount of time and they would like to engage in some of the Psukei Dezimra, we have to be careful with one thing. We can say Baruch Sha'amar, which is the bracha before. You can say Yishtabach, which is the concluding bracha. But if you do that, make sure to say something in between as well, because to make a bracha, a pre-bracha and a post-bracha with nothing in the middle, it's like the sandwich with nothing in it. It doesn't work that way. So you could say Baruch Sha'amar. Perhaps most people would say to choose Ashrei, because that is one of the main ones, and especially the verse Peseach Es Yodecha, where we ask and we're meant to concentrate. That's one of the psukim which we are required to have concentration while we are davening, and we concentrate that Hashem will give us all of our material sustenance, all of our needs, and then you can say Yishtabach, and you've done at least, how do you say it, the skeleton of the Psukei Dezimra. Okay, but like I said, if a person can't, then they don't have to, they can go straight to the Shema, but it is important to prepare ourselves for the Shema. That's why Psukei Dezimra is so, it's such an important part of davening. Okay, so we'll see, as we go through, we'll see all the different parts, how it became added. It's interesting because once we put Ashrei into the Psukei Dezimra, it says, well, if you've already said chapter 145, so the Chachamim said, well, you might as well finish the Tillim, right? It's just four more chapters, and that's where we get all the Hallelukas in there. And then we go into the concept of Hashem redeeming us from Egypt and those Psukim, and that has to do with the fact that not only did Hashem create the world and sustain the world, so to speak, and make miracles, as we talk about in the Hallelukas in nature, but Hashem also makes, first of all, took us out of Egypt, which means He continuously supervises us, as well as He does miracles for the Jewish people, which means that although we are still in a state of an emotional attachment, we are thanking Hashem for lifting us above sometimes the nature, as we know as Jews, and that's why that's also part of the Psukei Dezimra. But we'll get to that more when we get to those specific paragraphs, but that's the basic, that's how the basic structure came about. Okay, just want to see if, before we go. Okay, yeah, so interesting, because like in the halacha, how it says, we said, as we said, the Psukei Dezimra is the idea of starting with praise. Very, very important to begin with praise before we actually go into straight into the requests that we have, because if we don't, then it can also be almost like very selfish, our requests, and the Shemayna Esrei will definitely not be able to be davened with the right focus. Okay. Oh, another interesting way of looking at the word zemer, as we said, zemer was pruning. So it says that when you prune a plant, why do you prune a plant? Because by pruning the plant, you are taking off all the faulty branches and you are strengthening the remaining ones. So that's what we're doing during the Psukei Dezimra. We are strengthening our core self, so to speak, where, and we will be able to produce good fruits, and our emotions will be healthy emotions, and we will be able to direct them to Hashem. So we sort of cleanse ourselves in advance of our davening of Shemayna Esrei. Okay, let's see. Okay, you know, here it says, interestingly, according to one opinion in the Mishnah Brura, he says that, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, perhaps women are required to say the Psukei Dezimra, but as I said, most opinions do not say that. Of course, it's nice if you can, if you have time. Some people choose that they decide, like on a certain day, they're going to spend more time davening. Sometimes that works. Perhaps on Shabbos, perhaps just Shabbos and once during the week, or if you just happen to have more time. And also, I think when something becomes more and more of a habit for a person, it definitely is easier to make it more routine. But again, of course, the most important tefillah is the Shemayna Esrei, and if you're going to only be able to do one, do not do Psukei Dezimra, rather do Shemayna Esrei, because according to many, most opinions, women are required to daven Shemayna Esrei. So if you have that decision to make, then we do have to do Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, but now let's get a little bit more into the, I just want to see a little bit more into the sources of the basis of this idea as we're talking about with these Psukei Dezimra. So if you look into the Gemara, and as I said, it's not very clear in the Gemara, it's not like in one place that it has it set out. The Shmoneh Esrei is much clearer. But nevertheless, from different parts, we pull out different things. So there's a very interesting thing. There's a discussion. It says in one place in Masechah Shabbos, it says, Amar Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says, Yehei chelki migoymrei halel b'chol yoyim. It would be so good if my portion could be amongst those who are able to complete the Hallel every single day. But the question immediately arises, and I know we've learned this before in our Shiurim, that we are actually not permitted to say Hallel every day, only on certain days when there's special miracles. And actually, it's considered an extremely negative thing. Somebody who says Hallel every day, it says Hareza Mecharef and Megadef, it's like he's almost blaspheming Hashem. So it's a very negative thing. So what is he talking about? What does he mean by completing Hallel? So the Gemara continues, says, no. What he means by Hallel is not the Hallel as we know it, rather Psukei Dezimra. So another way of calling, of categorizing what are Psukei Dezimra, they are verses of Hallel, of praise to Hashem. Now, what's the idea of Psukei Dezimra? So we say, as we said before, and this is the original, it says in Gemara Brachas and Daf Lamed Beis, it says, Dorosh Rabbi Simloi la'olam yisader adam shifchei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person should always first organize and first set out and first tell all of the praise of Hashem, v'achar kach yispalel, and only afterwards he should daven. And we learned that from Moshe Rabbeinu, who did the same thing. Now, how do we know, as we said, that it is these psukim? So we said that the Gemara discusses the concept of Ashrei, and Ashrei is the core, and then everything was added afterwards. Now, I want to read you something that I thought was beyond. I've never seen this. It was such an incredible writing. So this is written by a person who lived in the 1500s. He wrote a sefer called Mata Moshe. His name was Moshe ben Avraham. And he's a very famous, he left a few svarim. And in the Sefer, he writes something which is so profound, which describes so beautifully what Psukei Dezimra is and why it is such an important part of davening. So I'll read you a translation, because otherwise we won't manage, but it's just absolutely incredible. So he says like this, and we recite, this is from the Matan Moshe, and we recite Psukei Dezimra, which consists of a paragraph that ends with the word Halleluka, which is followed by another paragraph that ends with the word Halleluka. And he says, now I will explain to you why these paragraphs are collectively called Psukei Dezimra. Turn your ear towards me and listen. You should know that the area that spans between the earth and the heavens is not an empty space, but is filled with marauding bands and mobs. So obviously we're talking spiritually, that there is many forces in the air. We don't see them, but they're there. And a lot of them, as we'll see, are negative and some are positive. So he says like this, among them are beings which are pure and which perform good deeds, but below them are beings who are impure, who look to do harm and who like point out the negative. Each of them stands and jumps into the air. There is no empty space in the area between earth and the heavens, but it is full of mobs. Now, as we said, the whole process of davening is the ladder that takes us from earth to heaven, right? So we are traveling through this space. That's what he's picturing. That's what he wants us to picture. This is the image. That we are taking a trip. It is like us taking a trip. And the trip is going through places which are dangerous, places which have dangers constantly along the way. Let's see. So he explains. He says, there's no space, but it's full of mobs. Some of them are peace-loving, some are belligerent, some are for good purposes, some are there for evil purposes. Some are to help keep alive, some are to help bring death. It is for this area of the cosmos that the Psalm of Evil Spirits, he says, the chapter 91 in Tilim Yosha B'Seser Elyon was written. He says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, for he shall save you from the snare of the fowler. He shall cover you with his feathers, right? Hashem will protect you. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, for he shall give you angels and charge over you. So in other words, Hashem gives you protection against all these forces that are there in the air. So he says, trying to maneuver maneuver, as we are doing in davening, between the camps that exist between heaven and earth is akin to traveling through a dangerous area. A person's prayer must traverse through the camps that exist between heaven and earth in order to reach heaven. If the person praying has merit on his side, then these mobs will not interfere with his prayer. If the person prayer lacks merit, some of the evil spirit will interfere with his prayers. It is for that reason that King David, may peace be with him, authored Zmiris. Their purpose is to guide the prayers to pass successfully through the area between heaven and earth. Those evil spirits are like clouds that block the path of the prayers. This is what is meant by the verse, "You have covered yourself with a cloud so that our prayers should not pass through." And that is why we say Psukei Dezimra, he says, in authoring the Zmiris, that he says, when a person recites the Zmiris have the effect of pushing aside the evil spirits. The origin of the word Zmiris can be found in the word Mizamra, as we said, to cut, to prune. This is what David HaMelech said, meant when he wrote, Zmiris hayu luchukecha bebeis megura, your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. This means that when King David was on the road in places where he was in fear, the Zmiris cut away that which made him afraid, and they ran away. This is what is meant by the verse, it's a pasuk in Eiv, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of Hashem shouted for joy, which are the songs that the morning stars sing together. These are the Zmiris. When the Zmiris are recited, the merciless prosecutors will be chased away. And that's why we use the word Yariu, as we say, we blow, has its root in the verse, the earth is completely broken down. So just to conclude, as a result, it is important not to talk as one recites the paragraphs within Psukei Dezimra until after Shmaine Esrei, and to concentrate with the appropriate thoughts so that one's prayers are not diverted. This was the meaning by what was written in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that it was a sin for one to talk with others while reciting from Yishtabach until Yaitzar, which means when you conclude the Psukei Dezimra, and if you make an interruption and you speak, the language that's used in the Yerushalmi, it says, doing so is a basis to turn away an individual from performing military service. That's the wording of the Yerushalmi. What's talking about military service? So he says, what was the cause? Because what does it teach us? That when a person recites the Zmiris and causes all these mobs of war to depart, he can cause them to return when he talks while reciting Zmiris. This should be enough for those who understand. Very strong language, and the idea is that we said it's a very emotional part of our davening, and it does bring us to a state of gratitude and joy. But we have to realize that it's extremely powerful, all these verses that we are saying. So what they are doing is not only elevating us to a state of joy, but they are actually chasing away all the negative forces that are trying to stop our davening from elevating, from going up to Hashem, and trying to stop us from processing and from becoming connected to Hashem. And that's why it's so, so important that during the Psukei Dezimra, we should be concentrating, and we should not be interrupting, and we should not be speaking, so that we should be able to have, it should have this tremendous effect. I want to read you, one more small thing, because Rabbi Schwab brings a similar thing. He brings in, he quotes, I think, the same idea, but I just want to show you, let me just see. I'm going to read you how he says. He says it very beautifully. He says, after we have waged this battle, we have an immediate opening to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our tefillah. Because remember we said that the Psukei Dezimra are almost like a pre to the Shema, and then the Shemaine Esrei. And the Shemaine Esrei, we know, are when we are going to present all of our requests to Hashem. So he says like this, that if we interrupt and separate these two, we are returning from battle without utilizing the advantage we have gained. And the powerful forces of the powers of Tuma, in other words, all these powers of negativity, are again able to gain the upper hand and prevent our tefillos from reaching Hashem. So again, a very, very, very strong concept of the power of the Psukei de Zimra in the most beautiful way and in their incredible strength. And that's why we say it is literally a time of battle. And we know that when a person is in a time of battle, you cannot be lazy, you cannot let your guard down, you have to remain focused, otherwise you're doomed and the enemy will be able to take over. So therefore, and just as we mentioned before, each rung of the ladder is another rung, right? And we, from each stage in davening, we go to the next rung. While we are in that stage, we are concentrating on that concept. So in the Psukei de Zimra, it is the emotional stage. Then we move on to the Shema, which is the intellectual stage. And then we come to the Shemaina Esrei, where we are totally submitted and is only Hashem that exists. And we stand like this. But what happens is that during the time of the Psukei de Zimra, that is an exclusive time where we can accomplish what we are meant to accomplish then. We cannot accomplish that afterwards. So in order to harness our emotions and to harness, as we said, and to prune away all the negativity and to be able to get through all of those forces of impurity, that has to be done during the stage of the Psukei de Zimra. And all of the things that we say in Psukei de Zimra fit into that theme of the praising of Hashem, of the joy, of the pruning, of the becoming emotionally really one with Hashem. So that's everything in the Psukei de Zimra fit under that umbrella. And then when we move on, it's like, it's a very interesting thing. It's Mamish in Kabbalah, we say, it is literally like traveling from one world to another, which means it's already a whole different realm, which has its own structure and its own rules and its own personality. But while we are in the space of the Psukei de Zimra, we are in a certain space, and that's what we'll come to as we are learning. We will see more and more. Just want to see if there was... Okay. Yes. Okay. Now, something very interesting also. We said everybody, there's differences if you say Haidu before or after, but everybody, according to everybody, the Psukei de Zimra begins with this paragraph. As we said, it is on page 58 in your art scroll and 30 in the Ari, Blue Ari, is what we call the Baruch Sha'amar. Where does Baruch Sha'amar come from? What is this prayer? Because it's not specifically mentioned in the Gemara. Ashrei is a paragraph from Tehillim. But Baruch Sha'amar is not a paragraph taken from Tehillim or anywhere. Not only that, but if you look at the way the Baruch Sha'amar is structured, I'm going to show you something very interesting, which is very, very unusual. It is true we begin the paragraph with the word Baruch. It is a bracha, right? And we do begin Baruch. But we don't say Baruch Atah Hashem at the beginning, right? We say Baruch Sha'amar, V'haya Ha'olam, Baruch Hu, and only after, and we'll see how many, about 10 phrases, 10 different ones, we get to a verse that says Baruch Atah Hashem, Elekeinu Melech Ha'olam. That's in the middle of the paragraph, which means in the middle of Baruch Sha'amar is where we actually make the bracha. We start Baruch Atah Hashem, and then we conclude. Right at the end, we say Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Mehulal Batishpachis, right? We're not starting with Baruch Atah Hashem, which is extremely unusual, which means that the bracha of Baruch Sha'amar is called one bracha, but it's actually made up of two parts. There's a pre-bracha part, and then we go into the actual bracha of Baruch Sha'amar. And we'll see what's the significance of that. Who wrote this Baruch Sha'amar? So there's obviously many discussions, and there's different people who do research and look into the oldest siddurim that are around, and the time of the Ga'inim, we have Amram Ga'in had a siddur, and all the different things, and something very fascinating seems to emerge from the writings of all of the Chachamim. And they say that the origin of Baruch Sha'amar, actually, even though it's shrouded in mystery, it does trace back all the way to the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Even though we don't have it written in the Gemara, that doesn't mean that they didn't say it during the times of the Gemara or even the times of the Mishnah, just that we don't have it written, it wasn't so discussed in its formal way, but it does go all the way back to the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly. As we say, that was just at the time before the Second Temple. They were the same ones who wrote the Shemaina Esrei as we know it. what happened? And this is such a, it's like so strange, but it's incredible. Also giving us, I think when we open up our siddur and we're aware of this, I think it helps us to treat the Baruch Sha'amra with such an incredible, like, almost awe, if you want to say, what happened. So it says, as the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were writing the bracha, they began with the bracha part, because that's how you begin. Baruch atah Hashem. But something incredible happened. And the language that's used is, nafla piska min shmaya. A note fell from the heaven. However you want to believe, understand what that means, whether it be a prophecy or physically, a note fell from the heaven. And on it was written the first part of the Baruch Sha'amar. So the Baruch Sha'amar, the first part, those words Baruch Sha'amar until the bracha, that was written by God himself, so to speak, by the angels, by God, came down from heaven, and the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made it part of the bracha, put it before the bracha of the actual bracha of what we call Baruch Sha'amar, but the second part. So the first part before the bracha is the Piska min Shemaya, came from the heavens, and it became instituted as part of the Baruch Sha'amar. So this is obviously an extremely deep and high prayer with origins in the heavens, so to speak. We all say that. It's quite fascinating. This is also written even in the Art Scroll Siddur. I just want to show you something interesting. Now, there's an interesting discussion. We have many times things about numbers in Torah, you know, a certain amount of parashiyos, certain amount of words in something, and then you count it and you say it's not exact. But just the idea is there. So it says like this is based on, and they said that this Piska Min Shmaya, this heavenly note that came down from heaven with this writing of the Baruch Sha'amar that we, as we have it, it says very interesting. It says that there were 87 words. 87 words. And if you count it up, you can see. He says, and what does the 87 words signify? It actually represents, it's from a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And the pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Roshoy Kesem Poz. Poz, Pei Zayin, is 87. And it means his head is like the finest gold, which means the beginning, so the beginning of the davening, that we are beginning our process of the second rung of the ladder, is like precious gold, and this is what the Baruch Sha'amar and the rest of the Psuki to Zimra are. Paz, again, meaning 87, and he says, Ketzaisav Taltalim, it says, very beautiful Pasuk, and it's, his locks are wavy and black like a raven. This is all the different Psukim that we say, all the different connection that we do to Hashem. But 87 words. So some people say that the Baruch Sha'amar should be only 87 words. We have to be careful not to tamper. And what is fascinating is that even though in our Nuschais, right, it's a whole interesting discussion how that works with the different versions of davening that we have. And there are slight differences, not such big differences, people think, not really, but there are differences. Yet in the Baruch Sha'amar, it's very interesting that it converged over the generations, and our Baruch Sha'amars, both the Nusach Ari and the Ashkenaz, are really almost exactly the same. It seems to be that it's very important to keep it to its original, because it has such a holy source, as we say. That's what it seems, that's why we can see that it's mamish almost the same. Okay, I just want to see another interesting thing. One more interesting thing. Now, there's a whole discussion of when that part of the Baruch Sha'amar, the beginning part, actually became part of the formal siddur. And it's fascinating. It seems that if you look into the siddur of what we know as Reb Amram Gaon, he was one of the Gaonim, which means just after the time of the Amiram, after the sealing of the Gemara. So that's about the year 500 of the Common Era. So it says over there that he has a thing that we don't say the first part of Baruch Sha'amar, only from the bracha part. When do you? Yes, only on Shabbos, because it's too holy to be said during the week. But later in generations, it became incorporated as part of the Baruch Sha'amar as we have it, and we all say it every single day. But there's a fascinating thing that, you know, on Shabbos, I don't know if you know on Shabbos, if you go to shul, if you're there at that point, we have, before the Baruch Sha'amar, we have much more than we do during the week. We have a few other chapters of Tehillim. And there's one thing that we say before Baruch Sha'amar on Shabbos. Some shuls, they sing it. It is the paragraph known as Haderes Va'emuna, right? The strength and the faith. And we say Haderes Va'emuna L'chaya Ilamin, to the to the one who lives, to the everlasting God, to the one who lives forever, right? And it goes in the order of the Aleph Beis, right? That paragraph, it's there just, if you want, if you have your Siddur, I should look up the page, it's very, very interesting. Just see if I can find it. It's in the Shabbos Davening, just see something. And it's just before the, I don't know the Siddur so well, but let me just see. Just before the Baruch Shamar on Shabbos. Yeah, I'm getting to it. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Oh. Maybe not in the art scroll. Sorry. I don't know in the art scroll where it is actually. Okay, so I just in the Nusach Ari, it's just before the Baruch Sh'amar. And it says like this, that at the time that the Jews are saying Baruch Sh'amar, the angels are saying Ha'aderes V'yamuna. And that also contains 87 words. It's a very fascinating thing. So what does this mean? It means that Baruch Sh'amar is a very powerful tefillah. It's a very spiritual prayer. And it's a prayer which was set out perhaps from all the way from the time of Anshei Knesset Hagdela, instituted in our davening to signify the beginning of the second rung of the ladder of the praising and the connecting to Hashem in this incredible emotional way. I'll just do one little bit, because I'm next week in Meretz Hashem we will continue, but what I'll do is I'll leave you with one small thing from the actual Baruch Shem. I'll just start one part of the verse itself. Let me just see something here. Okay, so we said it's 87 words, but if you count according, maybe it's 88 words in some siddurim, but it's very, very almost that. And also, if you look at how many times it says the word baruch, blessed, which we'll discuss next week what blessed means, it actually says it 13 times, because corresponding to the 13 attributes of mercy. And initially we have 10. Before we get to the actual bracha, we will have 10 phrases of, so to speak, praise of Hashem. They correspond, and we'll see that this paragraph actually does talk about that, to the 10 utterances with which Hashem created the world, as well as, of course, the 10 commandments, which we do in order to maintain Hashem's presence in the world. So that's what Baruch Sh'amar contains. I just want to look, one nice thing to start with actual words of Baruch Sh'amar. If you look how it begins, it says, Baruch Sh'amar V'hoya Ha'olam. So praised, if you want to say blessed, not praise, blessed is the one who says, and the world came into being, right? We know that Hashem created the world through speech, as we just said, with 10 utterances. And this is what we are mentioning. The idea here, again, we are praising Hashem. This is the whole point of this, but it's not just praising. But bracha comes from the word brecha, which is a pool, if you want to say, a reservoir. And we are drawing Hashem into the world. We are elevating ourselves to come closer to Hashem, but the whole idea is then to draw Hashem more in a more revealed way in the world. And therefore, we right away make the statement, Baruch, blessed is the one who said, and the world came into being. And it's interesting, Baruch Sh'amar V'hoya Ha'olam, and the world was, so to speak. So it sounds like almost, if you want to say it's a proactive creation, right? Hashem is creating the world. According to some opinions, the word Sh'amar, which we translate as saying, can also be thinking, because Hashem did create the world both with thought and then with speech. That's obviously the higher form of creation, first with thought, where we are closer to Hashem. But in order for the world to feel itself as an independent being, he had to create it through speech. Speech, we know the concept of speech, is where we communicate with another. And Hashem wanted, for whatever reason, a world which could possibly think it is independent of Hashem, however constantly be reconnecting and revealing that in truth it is one with Hashem. So Baruch Sh'amar V'hoya Ha'olam, and the world came into be. And then we say right away, Baruch Hu, blessed be He. Who is He? He is in third person. What we want to do is we want to baruch, we want to draw Hashem closer to us, who he is quite distant. But what we are trying as we're going to now go through our davening is to come closer to Hashem. So we are trying to draw ourselves closer to Hashem, and Hashem closer, so to speak, to the world, meaning to be more revealed in the world. That's why we say baruch, we are trying. And if you say, interesting, the Vilna Gaon says Hashem exists both in the revealed and in the hidden. So when we say baruch sha'amar, that is the revealed God, right? That's the one that's known to creation. And then we say baruch hu, which is in the third person, that's the hidden part. That's the part where God is not so obvious. But what we are trying to do is to make Hashem obvious in both places, where he is obvious, easier, where he is not so obvious, where Hashem is more hidden. We want Hashem to be present, and that we should feel the connection as well as the world, so to speak, the mysteries of creation. And then we say baruch oimer v'aiseh, right? Hashem is the one who says and he creates. So first he thinks, then he speaks. And Isa means he actually makes it crystallize, becomes a real world. It becomes a separate entity, right? So in order for the world to actually be created, Hashem has to actually make it happen, so to speak. There's a whole process. So this is something interesting that we should be thinking about when we say Baruch Shamar, because when we wake up in the morning, we feel ourselves very strongly as independent people. Unfortunately, that's what we're trying to achieve by davening, is to feel that connection to Hashem. But the truth is, we have to reverse our rationale and realize that in order for the world to feel itself as an independent existence, it's such a miracle. It's not a miracle, but it's such an incredible creative thing of God, because the world needs God. It's like we can imagine that if you are doing something and you are very needed, let's say, I don't know, if you're running an event and if you're not there, everything falls apart. The person who is very, very, very talented has the ability to almost run something by remote control, where he's running everything 100%, involved in every detail, but nobody sees him. Most of the time, that's not the way it is. Most of the time, if you're dependent on somebody to run it, you see them. They're there. They're running around. They're making a tumult because they're there. They're needed. Hashem was able, and obviously Hashem was able, but Hashem created the world in a way where he creates the world, constantly involved. The world needs him, and yet somehow we can delude ourselves and deceive ourselves and feel that we are an independent being. This is an incredible thing that only Hashem, so to speak, can do. And that's why we say, Baruch Oimer V'Aiseh. So he says and he creates. He creates a world. And what kind of a world is it? It's a world, as we say, Baruch Goizer U'Mekayim. I'll finish with this. It's a fascinating thing. What is Goizer? Goizer is decree. What does it mean he decrees? A decree, it's also another way of explaining a gezer, is a division. Hashem creates an interesting world, as we know. He creates a world full of divisiveness. Just generally, and some things are negative, some are just happen to be different, right? So we know Hashem creates a world where there's holy and unholy, there's day and night, right? There's Shabbos and weekday, there's good and there's bad. And yet, what does Hashem do? Despite the fact that everything is so separate, so different, so many things that are either just different categorically or actually opposite and pulling apart, Hashem mikayim, he sustains them that they should coexist. This is the miracle of creation. So first part, we're talking about Hashem creating the world and how he continuously creates the world and how he, as we say, through his speech. But not only does he create the world, but he holds the world together. That the world should be able to coexist, and to therefore, if it coexists, that's the only way that it can actually be a productive world. This is something, even though it's like a very abstract kind of a thing in the whole world, but the truth is, it's something that we can think of for ourselves as in a personal way, that there are many parts of our lives that seem to contradict each other, and sometimes we find it very difficult. We should understand, Baruch Goizer U'Mekayim. He makes the divisions, Hashem, but he sustains them together. We can have, even though we are made up of many opposing forces, we can live a life which is not full of division. We can live a life which actually flows, where we can feel a sense of togetherness, if you want to say, with ourselves even, where we don't feel pulled apart in a destructive way, rather that all of the different aspects of ourselves, even if they're opposite, can work together and make something even more, make something even greater. And this is something that we say, Baruch Goyzer Umekayim. Okay, next week we'll continue and we'll explain a little bit more about the structure itself of the Baruch Shamar, see more of the words and how magnificent it is. I'll just unmute if you have any questions. Okay, I think you can unmute yourself.